Welcome to episode 99 of the Megacast. I am Matt Jerkins. I'm joined tonight by Wilco and Josh. We are one away from that triple digit shit.
I can't believe what we've got planned for next week. It's going to be fucking huge. We've been spending all year setting this one up.
Oh, man.
It's going
to
be
100
unreal.
Episodes have led to this.
Just, I can't believe it.
Yeah. We have nothing planned at all.
Yeah, that's it. 100 episodes has led to this.
Oh,
nothing.
We sort of have. I still think we just changed the name of the podcast and start again from one and just go.
That's just mean.
You're a fucking dingus, hey? So we are doing episode 100 next.
Why don't we just do 101 next week? And then when we decide to do something good for 100, we'll just rack 100 up then.
Fuck, that'd be pretty good. No, but I don't know. We might take next week off to plan an actual episode 100. I'm not too sure what we're going to do yet. We're going to talk about it here internally and have a bit of a discussion surrounding it. We might just get real drunk. You never really know. With us, we might get Hutto and Joey back if you're a listener from the old days of the podcast.
Who were they?
Way
back when. I don't know, some people that used to fucking talk to us sometimes before they got sick of us.
Before they got famous.
Before they got famous.
I feel like people get sick of us pretty... Like, it doesn't take
pretty
long.
Pretty quickly. Yeah. Mm. Remember that time when the guests only used to hang around for half an hour and just left?
And then left.
Then when we used to have guests? That was fucking...
Yeah, maybe that's episode 100. We'll just get a guest again.
I'm so not in the mood to organise guests because PAX is so close and I'm just going to organise guests
close.
Out of the wazoo from then.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll have a lot of guests coming up later on this year after PAX. We'll make some...
Oh, there's so much big content at the moment.
Cool stuff.
We're going to do like an indie corner this week because... So many Australian indie games are launching now and in the next couple of weeks because of obviously PAX is coming up soon. So
it's gonna be pretty damn cool. A couple of weeks. I'm really looking forward to Odd Gods. Seeing more of that at PAX this year.
Yeah.
That game fucking wowed me last time we saw it, and I'm very keen
it
to see it again.
Still wows me in my pants, mate.
Oh, okay. Wilco, other than being wowed in the pants and... Oh, fuck, do we even want to do that? What have you been up to for the past week? Oh, Jesus, do we even
want
to
ready?
Do this?
Do you want to just go have a coffee, you know, sit down, relax for a bit? Because me and Josh are about to talk for the next 15 minutes. Because what I want to do, I want to actually pull this part of the podcast out and I'm going to put a video behind it and we're going to put it up on USM as the semi-review of Forza Horizon 4. Yeah, baby.
Yeah,
that's what I've been playing. So, you want to do this, Josh? You, Perko, just shut up for a minute and...
I'll give you 1 minute.
1 minute. 1 minute.
Remember we used to do 1 minute reviews? That was so good.
Remember I did one 1 minute review?
I did one. That's two.
Yeah,
that's
so.
Reviews.
That's 2 minutes. So, we get 2 minutes this time.
2 minutes of our life we never got back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, let's I'll fucking open the fucking bullpen here. Hey, Wilco, how is Forza Horizon 4?
Oh, my fucking God, it's amazing. The review embargo is actually up now, so the reviews technically can be released, which is sick. I'm going to do a few different versions of a review, so look forward to that in the next couple of days. I'm going to actually do a written one. Long form, like always. Yes, I am.
Cool.
If I don't have days like today where I've worked 13 hours, I definitely will 100% get that out by the end of the week. I just have to... long story short, I've done 16 odd hours of this game. I've got my driver level up to about level 40, which I'm pretty impressed with.
That seems to be a bit quick. Considering Forza Horizon 3 seemed to go a little bit...
What they've done with the leveling system... I was talking about before... Forza Horizon 4 is a near-perfect game for a racing game. Again, like Forza Horizon 3 was. But they feel like they've changed so much from 3 into 4. And it's just like, I wouldn't have even thought to change that. They've basically grabbed everything that people were complaining about in 3, which is not a huge amount. And they've just fixed it up and ramped everything else up to 100. So I feel like I'm probably not going to give it as high a score as Forza Horizon 3. But technically, it is brilliant. And with that leveling system, so you go through sort of a 5 to 6, maybe 7 hour sort of prologue version of the game. So you start off in summer. You then move through the different seasons as you try and qualify for what they call Horizon Life or the Horizon Series.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing things, and that roughly gets you to round about level 20. So that little period is just leveling up to level 20. You then start as a novice, it's a yellow. You get a yellow wristband, basically, is I think the term behind it. They don't actually say it. The goal is to get the gold wristband, sort of thing.
With the gold wristband, do you get free drinks?
Oh, you get free drinks if you buy them yourself, mate. So, yeah. Right. But yeah, the idea is when you get to Forza Horizon Life, they say, here we go, you are trying to become the best of the best and have gold wristbands, like, or gold, be gold level, like these handful of people that are out there. So you start off with yellow. As you work through, I've gone to level 40, which is green. I've seen a few people that are level like 90 and 100, which it gets to sort of pink and purple. So I haven't seen anyone with gold yet, so I don't know where that number sits. So when I say 40 is a long way off sort of finishing the game. And when I went to Forza Horizon Life mode, which is the living, breathing seasons, so you've got everyone's in, you go into a server with other people in there, and it's all, you're all synced up with the same time period, so you're all, you know, on the same day cycle, night cycle, weather cycle, and you're obviously in the same season, which lasts a week. That map you've got has still got all the races you had on it. You've still got about 15 to 20 different categories of races that you need to level up. I've leveled one up to 9 at the moment. That unlocked me an enduro race, which is really, really good fun. But all the rest, like, I haven't even started any drift races yet. I haven't looked at the tuning yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't done any of the paint yet. I've done barely any of the street races yet. I have unlocked about half the roads and about a third of the message boards. Now, that's in about 16 to 17 hours gameplay, and I'm just feel like I'm scratching the surface of this game, especially when we've got the first real season starting next week, which is going to be summer. We're racing in autumn at the moment, the reviewers. It feels brilliant, looks amazing. The graphics is phenomenal. It feels beautiful. So it's got that mix of arcade / realism, to the point where I turned cosmetic damage off and put real damage on. And you have to change your car probably after about 15, 20 minutes of racing because of all the jumps and the crashes you do.
And the damage.
The damage just builds up and builds up, and you can't. I had a car that physically would not roll more than 2Ks an hour because I damaged it that much. So
what happened, like, when you put it back in your garage, you just get auto-repaired?
It just auto-repaired, yeah. There's no penalty to it because that's the fun of the game. Like, you are, half the game is doing big jumps and getting points for it. Like, the danger signs are one of the key parts of the game, which I haven't really even touched the surface of. I think I've done 2 danger signs and that's it, which is weird for me because I always love doing those big jumps, but I just haven't looked for them. I'm too busy doing races. We did a little bit of co-op last night, which was good fun and easy to get into, and we just raced basically against AI. I want to do some more serious multiplayer. I missed those sessions in the review period. They had some turn 10 guys were going to run us through it, but just times didn't marry up. But if you're a Forza Horizon 3 fan, you're getting Forza Horizon 4. I don't need to talk to you about this game. It is everything you ever wanted in your wettest dreams and more. If you're not a Forza Horizon fan...
Like Matthew.
Hello, I'm still here.
You are still here. I thought you died. Sorry. Look, it's still a great game. It, as far as open world games go, it does some really strange things you don't realize that steals from other open world massive, like, multiplayer games. Like, they've brought in this Forza-a-thon live thing, where every hour on the hour, pretty much, or I think it's a bit before the hour, an event starts. So it's pretty much a public event in Destiny. Everyone gets notified on the map, everyone gets together, and you work together as a team to go through 3 challenges across the map. Let it be. So I did one that was a speed trap, so between everyone there you had to get the speed. Every time you went through, you added to the total for team, and you had to do, I think it was like, you know, maybe 50,000 miles per hour total. So every time you went through it was like maybe 200, so you'd turn around and come back and go back and go back until you completed it. And then you went, the next one was the danger zone, so you had to do another 4,000 meters of jumps. So you kept on doing the jumps back and forth, and then the last one was do air skills. So you just basically had to go through the sand dunes getting air, and every time you got air, added one to the total. And we were trying to get like 500.
Yeah, right.
You had 15 minutes to do that. The more you progressed through it and completed it, the more points and influence you got. And it was just this fun thing to get everyone in the map, like a public event is in Destiny, just gets everyone in the same area having a bit of fun together. So,
is it in that kind of situation, is it quite easy to communicate with everybody else that's on the map?
You've got, basically it comes up on the screen that says Forza Athon live starts in 5 minutes, press X to set route. You then all go there. You can then use your remotes on your D-pad to say different things to different people, or you've got in-game voice chat is enabled if you've enabled it. So there is that as well. I haven't heard anyone talk, so maybe I've just got everyone on mute, or maybe everyone's not using microphones. I didn't really care about that, because it wasn't that we had to work together, it was just that we were doing the same thing. So it came up on the screen and said what we had to do, and we just had fun going over jumps, over and over again. So it wasn't like we were trying to coordinate anything. It was just about having fun together. So there's that aspect to it. There is just the amount of cars, the amount of races. The thing I've got that's a downside is the map gets cluttered really easily, especially the fact that when you do something, it doesn't remove itself from the map. Mainly because you can go back and repeat and repeat and repeat, but the events do upgrade a little bit too. So you do it at one level, then you do it at the next level, and sort of when you do it in a different season, it's a lot different. So personally, I did not like winter at all. Winter was the biggest grind for me, because if you got off the road, it was really hard to get back on the road, because it was so snowy and so hard to get grip. Like, you had to pick the right cars for the right conditions, especially in winter, more than anything else.
Which kind of makes sense, really.
Yeah, it does. But it's the thing of, hey, this week, you are playing for the next 7 days winter. And it's just, those weeks I'm going to go, maybe not. Because we started in autumn, so I thought winter would be probably the first one to start. And I'm like, that's probably a bad place to start. And it was, because they've picked to start in summer. So each season comes with different events. So at the moment we're doing a Skyfall James Bond race series, we're doing a monster series, we haven't been able to get this one to go, which is a monster rally series. You've got to race co-op with other people, so I think you get teams of about six together to do this event. So the reviewers have had a hard time to get that one to go together. And then there's just like a cross-country slash event, which is based on something, but each week that changes, so it sort of gives you like your dailies or your weeklies that you need to do to get different things. And also in that, it then gives you separate challenges. So it says if you do it on average and you come first, average difficulty, you come first, you get X prize. If you do it on difficult and get third or better, then we give you this prize, and so on. So it gives you incentive for novice and expert players. You can do it all single player pretty much, except for a handful of things, which is really good for those who don't want to mingle with other people. But if you do want to mingle with other people, everything's playable, either co-op versus or any rivals, I think, is the other option as well. So the only other thing too with the clutterness,
have you rammed anyone yet?
I rammed someone better than Joshy rammed someone today. So. Really?
Now we're fucking talking. How much damage was there done to the car?
A lot, man. A lot. Like the thing I've noticed, the big difference in the feel of the game between number 3 and number 4 is, in number 4, if you hit something or hit someone, you stop dead. And it got really frustrating really quickly. In this one, if you hit another car, let's say you do a head-on, they stop, they go backwards, you slow right down, but it's not as impactful as it was in the previous game, which did get annoying. Trees are a lot easier to get through because they've thinned the trees right down, so you can pick which ones to hit better than what you could in the previous game.
Which is what you really want to do in real life as well.
Well, not in real life, but in this game, when you're doing a lot of cross-country road stuff, it does help. Like, a lot of things is breakable. There's very few things that aren't breakable, which in the previous game, you got pulled up a lot. And it got frustrating, like I said. So this is all about keeping you moving. But for a good player, if you can avoid the little things that you hit, like, you know, it's cool to hit that post box and the letters go everywhere. That's cool. But the serious players will avoid that because that does slow you down like 15 Ks an hour. So it's smart where it gives you the feel of, hey, cool, I'm having fun. I'm not handicapping myself too much for having fun. But if I want to get better, I need to avoid doing things like that. And you get the rewards for it. So
yeah, right.
Look, other than that, it's got all the great features. The biggest difference I found, the biggest thing I love about it is in number 3, racing level didn't really mean much from what I remember, Josh, where it was sort of a thing in the background. It was more
about... Just like driving along and see somebody that's level 250, you're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and you're like, that doesn't mean nothing. Yeah. In this, they've put that race level front and center. Everything is tied around that race level, and that's why they say this is what you're trying to upgrade, this is how you're going to get more things unlocked, this is what the whole game's about, is getting your Horizon drive level up to this goal. So
it's not so much like with Horizon 3 where it was the what's the word I'm looking for, Wilco, you know, like the bases, the
so it was more about getting your Twitter followers up or something like that, your social, that's what it was all about.
Yeah, and like getting those Horizon bases or showcases, showcases, I think it was, up to level 3, 4, 5, and 6 to unlock more stuff.
Yeah, it was upgrading the festivals themselves.
Yeah.
Because they had the separate festivals. This has one central festival location. Oh,
okay, cool.
And that's all. You don't need to upgrade or anything like that. The other big difference, I think, from memory in 3, you unlocked the car skills, and it was a big thing. You could unlock different skills. That was for the cars themselves, not specific cars, wasn't it?
In 3?
Yeah. Or was it individual cars you unlocked those skills for?
There was the skills that you unlocked which weren't really for the cars, it was more for just how you're playing.
Yeah, so that in this, those type of things are individual cars, so you get mastery points for your cars, and let's say I'm driving the Warthog around, the Halo Warthog.
Yeah.
I choose those things for that Warthog, so I choose more points for drift, more points for wreckage, more bonuses for this, or just
So it's car based as opposed to
car specific. So you get them more often.
General,
but if you earn it for that car, you don't have to use it on that car, which is the other good thing as well. So I've got like 24 points sitting there, which when I find a car that I like, I'm going to go unlock that mastery of that car 100% straight up because I've got all those points there to use. So it's giving you the ownership of the actual car rather than in the previous one, it was just like, oh, I'll just pick that car. I'll pick that car, whatever. Yeah.
It lets you jump between cars quite easily.
Yeah, this you can jump between cars really quickly, but you want to stick with the 5 or 6 main cars. And you'll probably have a winter car, one that's set up purely for winter. Like you get one of the big four-wheel drives or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Just quickly, the highlight of the whole thing before Matty falls asleep, the highlight of the whole thing so far, like there's been about six or seven showcases, which are the big events where you race in the Australia one. It was racing like I think there was a train in that one. Was a train.
Yeah, like those types of things. So that, those, shit like that.
Yeah, those showcases, they've been brilliant in this one as well. But after you unlock Horizon Life Mode, you unlock the Halo experience, which is by far the best thing I've ever done in this game to date in the 16 hours. You actually, it's not just, you don't just jump in a Warthog and race it. They've fully got in all the voice actors and they get Cortana to talk to you. And Yeah, there's a Halo ring in the sky and she's talking of, oh, we've got to extract you. We can't extract you here. We have to get you to the new LZ, and you've got Banshees coming at you and you don't have to shoot anything or fire anything. You're just driving a course like normal, but it's got a full, a mini story behind it, and it's all voiced and just gives you the feels. Because you are driving as Master Chief while you're driving this Warthog as well. So
that's pretty cool.
It is, and it's just, like, it was one of the first things I did on the stream, and I'm just like, wow. Like, I couldn't stop smiling the whole way through it. That's my highlight so far.
Yeah, okay.
Quite easily, and I'm looking forward to see what more things like that happen with the new seasons, because with the new season, so I already got a specific barn find, and I think one of the showcases might have been specific to autumn as well, but I'm not sure with that. But yeah, look, Forza Horizon 4, you're going to get it if you're a Forza fan, 100%. Yep. If you're a driving or racing car fan, definitely get it. If you're a Game Pass holder, you've already got it. This is the big Xbox title for the year, 100%, and is worthy of all the high scores that it's going to get. So look forward to actual proper finalized reviews within the next week from us, and from us, mainly from myself, and look forward to more streaming before the Ultimate Edition goes live on Friday, and the base game goes live on Tuesday. So that's where I'm at. Any final questions, Josh, or should we get back?
Can you put guns on the cars?
No, unfortunately not.
Fuck this game.
There is a battle royale match, the mode though, mate. So you're back in.
I like car racing games, but nah.
Yeah, you love it. It's just an open world game, mate. Don't think it's a car racing game. You'd be right. Just have fun.
I would have fun, like Burnout Paradise. Yeah, that.
Yeah, it's basically that, but more fun.
It's nothing because there's no crash zones and shit like that. It's nothing like that.
Yeah,
but okay. Each to their own.
You'll love it.
It's a 10 out of 10 for you, or whatever it is.
It's almost a 10 out of 10. So the other funny story to this. Okay, so I had a
good more Forza Horizon. Can't wait.
No. This is back to Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Remember that game that I'm trying to finish?
Before Forza came out.
Yeah. So Monday I went. I had a big long session of it, and then we did the podcast. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this Wednesday. I only worked till like 10:30, so I came home. I'm like, yes, sweet. I'm going to finish Act 1. You know, I'm getting the save file says I'm like 52%. I said, I'm really going to run here. I can do this by the end of the week. Went out, grabbed some lunch, come back home, and there's an email sitting in my email box saying, hey, need a review code for Forza Horizon 4. I'm like, oh, fuck, there goes Spider-Man.
Bye-bye, Spider-Man.
So yeah, I've finished Act 1 officially. It's happened. And the other little tidbit that you might want to be interested in is Amazon had PSVR bundles, the base bundle without the eye and without the Move controllers, for $199 on special in Australia. And I went, yeah, why not? So that's sitting there in my van. I'll give that a go over the next couple of days and we'll see what it's like. So I've got PSVR now for cheap.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. Now that we've fucking gotten that out of the way.
Yes. Cool. How was that? Don't worry. We'll talk about it more later.
I just shut the fuck up throughout that whole thing. I didn't say a damn thing. I didn't give you much shit at all. I didn't fucking say, why don't you just go and drive a real car, you idiots?
It is so good.
So, okay. He'll play it over my joint. He'll play it.
He will. He better.
I'm not
Sam will be disappointed in you if you don't, mate.
If I don't play Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah. You want to.
All right, maybe. Josh, what have you been up to?
Nothing.
Nothing. Like, seriously, after last Tuesday, so the 7 days after that have just been non-stop. So I actually haven't picked up a game. I played half an hour of Warframe today. That is the first thing that I've played.
That's not nothing.
Yeah, but it was like me logging on, kind of staring at the screen, trying to work out what I wanted to do, and then turning it off. That's kind of what it was, you know. Like,
sounds
it's just
like an average gameplay session, to be honest.
Oh, just, I don't know. It's just busy, man. Just busy with work, running into people with cars.
Yeah, you did that.
Did that
playing real Forza Horizon.
Yeah, playing real Burnout Paradise and stuff.
You see, that's fucking 10 times more fun.
It really wasn't, hey. Like, it's just...
Well, yeah.
Oh, I'll give you that. It just really wasn't.
So you rammed him. You're the one who did the ramming.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, my fault. 100%.
Really?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Oh, wow. You rammed him hard then.
Yeah, so people say that about me all the time too.
I know.
So like, all I've really been doing, I've watched a couple of movies and stuff, and I've read some books. That's about it. That's what I've been doing. I haven't had much time to do much else, and haven't really been driven to do it. I think I'm a little bit the same as, I know you and I discussed it, Wilco, when it happened, when God of War finished, you know, when we finished God of War. That kind of that little bit of a slump that I guess you fall into, just sitting down and going, oh, well, okay, that was an experience. What
you're waiting to play with horse testicles, aren't you? Well, that's what you're really getting psyched up for.
I think I'm
really
obviously I'm keen to get my hands on Forza Horizon 4, but I think the next big one for me is going to be Red Dead. You know, and
check out those testicles, mate. Yeah, you're all over.
We'll talk about that a little bit more in the news. But yeah, so that's me. Anyways, I've done fuck all.
Hey Perko,
what have you been doing, Matty?
Yeah, what have you been doing, mate? I'm going to shut up now.
You don't have to shut up, Wilco. I like when you talk to me, mate. Oh, fuck, I've been streaming a bunch, actually.
Like three drunk or four streaming. Nights in a row or something. Yeah.
It's weird. It's actually very weird. I've been streaming a whole bunch over the past week. Thanks mostly to Kate for giving me some motivation to do that. It's been very, very good.
How are you? I haven't checked in on you for a while. How's your view account going? I mean, your followers and all that kind of stuff?
I haven't, to be honest. I don't know. I have not checked.
Best place
probably
to be.
Not very good.
Best place to be. Then you won't be disappointed if it's low.
It is low. That's fine. But I have no idea, really. I've been getting a few followers lately. It's been nice. But I've been playing a lot of Quake Champions. Still really enjoying that
game.
Are
you in the competition at PAX? Are you one of the Quake Champion players in the tournament?
Didn't realise there was one. Probably should be. Probably not going to be.
There you go.
If there's still registrations open, I'll go in it.
No, it's like fun. For a fair chunk of money. So.
Oh, no, definitely not. If it's for a fair chunk of money, nah. No, if it's actual money prizes, I'd get fucking trashed on.
I'll just find it while you're vamping there and talking about your life. It's actually a fair chunk of money.
I've been streaming at night times from like 6:30 till about 9:30-ish usually, and then I sort of crawl my ass into bed and play PlayStation. I've been playing Dragon Age 11 or NBA 2K19. Both games I'm really enjoying.
You've been playing what?
Dragon Age 11.
Is it really?
Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I was going to say, Quest. Like Dragon Age 11? Because I'm pretty sure there's only three of them.
Yeah. I'm from the future, boys. Dragon Quest 11 and NBA 2K19. 2K19,000, actually, because we're in the future now. So Dragon Quest 11, it's all right. It's pretty good. I'm at this weird point where, like, I really want to, like, I'm not in this weird slump after Spider-Man. Spider-Man grabbed me so much, and I spent so much time with it, that now, like, I want another game to grab me, but it's not often that a game like that comes around, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's kind of where I am, too, at the moment, I think.
Yeah. Feeling a little bit bored by a bunch of stuff, although I am really enjoying NBA 2K19, the basketball element is fucking great. I'm not very far through the My Career mode, which is in effect the story mode, for one reason. The main character you play as, he's a dick. Like, he's a proper spoiled asshole, and I can already see that they're trying to do like a redemption arc, you know what I mean? Like, he starts out being real up himself and stuff like that, and he has to learn the power of teamwork and all that sort of stuff to be a better basketballer, and I can see that that's where they're going with it, but it doesn't help me want to play it when I actively hate the person I'm playing as. I'm like, man, you're a fucking asshole, shut your mouth, like, you know, just be humble about it. The basketball element of the game is really, really good, and I actually think the story will end up getting very good as well. I just need to put the time in to have that arc, that redemption arc, actually happen.
Quickly before you go on and ramble insanely, Bethesda's hosting the inaugural Quake Championship PAX 2018. There is actually no prize money's up for grab, but the winners will go on to that place overseas that I can't pronounce in Sweden for $200,000 USD prize pool.
Jesus.
So we will have some Australians in that out of PAX. So there are qualifiers started on the 9th of September. It's a 2v2 tournament by the set. Look at it. It is, 2v2 online qualifiers. Kick off Sunday the 9th of September, run right up until the main event in PAX.
Well, the good news is I'm not going in it because I don't have a 2v2 partner. And plus, when you... Like, I'm still playing just arcade, and I'm doing pretty well for myself now. But then... Every now and then you just run across a person who's been playing Quake since fucking 1992, whenever it came out, probably around then, actually, like 94, 85, something like that. And just poos on everyone. They're like rocket jumping everywhere and just like weapon swapping midair and then fucking people up with like rifles and like railguns and stuff. Yeah, when that happens, it's pretty glaring the skill gap difference. So I can hold my own now, and I do pretty well in matches. I win quite a few of them in terms of deathmatch and team deathmatch. But nah, I'm not good. I would not do well in that tournament. I would get fucking shit on, which is hilarious. But
that's what I want to see.
That's what I know. That's what I'll enter it. Let's see. I'll enter it. We'll see what happens.
Give the punters what they want, mate. Give the punters what they want.
Give the punters. Perko getting shit on. Path of Exile as well. I've been trying to get back into that. Streamed a bit of it last night. Playing my Parappa the Zapper, my Arc Lightning build. The Delve League is lots of fun. I just, again, it's time and other games and stuff for me. I've got a lot of other games to play, and unfortunately at the moment I'm having way too much fun playing games like Quake Champions and even Civ 6 and stuff like that to sort of spend a lot of time with Path of Exile at the moment.
It's that kind of weird time, isn't it? There's so many games going around and so many people that we've missed and that I want to go back to. I still want to go back to Hollow Knight, to be honest.
Man, I still want to go back and play fucking Steep. That came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I still want to do that.
What the fuck?
Really?
Like, there's just I don't know. There's so many games that come out in the past 2 years that I haven't played that I want to play that I just keep looking at my shelf and going, oh, yeah, I've got that, hey. Maybe I should play that, and then I'll put it in and play it for like 5 minutes.
Remember 2 weeks ago I bought like 7 games from Target? I'm sitting there looking at that shelf going, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, The Last Guardian's still in shrink wrapping from like 6 months ago from me.
And even like I've got the EA pass, I've got the game Xbox pass, and I'm like, Madden's out, FIFA's out. Well, FIFA might be out, I don't know. I don't really, there's not enough time in the world. I'm hoping to get more time soon, but yeah, we'll see how we go with that. But yeah, the big thing that I'm getting psyched about too, and PAX. Apologies for the next 4 weeks, how we will just talk about PAX nonstop every episode.
Pretty much, yeah, because we're not all bastards. Going this year. Josh, unfortunately, is not going.
The important people are going, especially if you go by Dash's tweet on Twitter. We'll have Perko in the crew.
Shout out to Dash, you're a good bloke.
Yeah. The Dash Gamer Awards. Yeah. Is it the Dash Top Gamer Awards or Dash Culture Awards? I don't know.
The Douche Gamer Awards or something, I don't know.
The Dash Game Awards. We have been put in as like an official sort of voter and nominee and stuff like that again, which is going to be really, really fun. So that'll be coming at the end of the year. I'll catch up with Dash, hopefully at PAX. Have a chat to him.
It's only me, you, and the crew, so Josh has been relegated to the crew. I don't know who else he'll...
That's fair. Like, it's fair. It's fair.
I don't know who else is with you on the crew, because there are only technically the three of us. We should probably bring some more people in soon, since everyone's doing work for us. But
I'm happy being the crew.
The crew. Because that was a pretty average game, mate, to be honest.
It was a very bad game. But really sums up, like, where I'm at.
What
right
you
now.
Are.
You
that's
know,
it.
Like... Fairly
crashing
terrible.
Cars, pretty terrible, pretty useless.
He's a Dorries. But yeah, we're getting excited for PAX anyway. So that's coming up, I think, like the 25th of August. It's like a month away from now.
I fly in a month today, so it's pretty excited. So Division 2 will be on the floor. How good is that? I assume. Mm-hmm. We haven't had it confirmed yet, but I'm assuming it will be.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to see a lot of games, and you're going to have a lot of content coming out of us.
$25,000 Rainbow Six tournament, 4 teams only, battling it out for $25,000. It's fucking going to be unreal.
That's going to be fucking cool. But yeah, that's what we've been up to. Let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
Man, this is some sad news this week. Last week was a trigger week for me. I got real mad. If you like that, if you like hearing me get mad, go listen to last week's episode, because I got mad a whole bunch.
I thought you
would have
got mad, a lot of mad shit. And sad this week.
Yeah.
Mad and sad and sad mad.
Sad mad.
There's one I really almost want to jump to straight away just to get your thoughts on it, because I haven't talked to you about it yet. Can we just jump straight to the PlayStation Classic?
Yeah, I'm so fucking keen for this thing.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm real keen.
What? Why would they announce it? Have this thing know they're going to sell it out and only tell, say, 5 games of it. 5 games of 20.
Because they haven't... I bet you any money... Is
they're still getting licenses?
Yeah, they're still getting licensing sort of for the other games. I bet you any
sense.
Money.
That'd make sense.
Any money.
See, I'm in very, very much in 2 months. Like, I've pre-ordered one because I'm a PlayStation boy. I had a PlayStation 1.
I just love that statement. I'm very, very much in 2 months. like, I've pre-ordered one. I'm going to get it, but I'm in 2 months.
I'm not going to get it. I've pre-ordered one. At this stage, I'm probably leaning towards the fence of cancelling that pre-order. I don't like the fact that it's not the DualShock controller, which means...
It didn't exist.
It didn't exist.
They
in the
did halfway through PlayStation 1.
That was the PSX. So the DualShock came out when the PSX was released, not the PS1. The PSX was the smaller, whiter, rounded one.
The PS1, O-N-E.
O-N-E? The PS... Yeah. O-N-E. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
See, so that's the PS... where I started with the PlayStation. I didn't start from day one with the PlayStation. So all the games I played and I enjoyed on the PlayStation were the ones that required the two analog sticks, like Siphon Filter and... You know,
Ape Escape and shit.
Ape Escape, Destruction Derby, all these type of... Crash Team Racing, even. Like, all these type of games were all... Oh, even Crash Bandicoot, I was using the dual analog sticks. I wasn't using the D-pad, so...
You're a fucking animal.
I am. But at this stage, I'm going to be playing games either not how I remembered them or not the most optimal way to play them. And I'm just like, oh, I don't... And like the games have announced so far, I'm sort of like on the fence about anyway.
On the fence about Final Fantasy VII, you dingus?
Yeah, I never played it. That's why I'm half tempted to...
Oh, my God.
That's why I'm half tempted to get it, to play it. But so, I want to see those other 15.
I thought we'd just throw this out there now. Wilco's just said he's never played Final Fantasy VII. So we're looking for a new host, actually.
That's okay. Go for it, mate.
The one thing... Look, I'm probably going to just get this as a collector and as a PlayStation collector. I'm probably not going to play it. Because realistically, a lot of the games that... I feel as though a lot of the games that come out on this are probably already going to be available through the PlayStation Store with trophy support. For instance, Final Fantasy VII. Why would I play Final Fantasy VII on this PlayStation Classic console when I can boot it up in Steam and load graphics packs on it, or when I can play it on my PlayStation 4 lying in bed and get trophies and stuff like that and show everyone how fucking cool I am that I've beaten Emerald and Ruby Weapon? You know what I mean? These are collector's items.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun things. These are not, you know, they're not for the average person. I don't feel anyway.
No.
See, I'm very excited.
What games are you hoping to be on there?
Oh man, I started to think about this list and it got so big so quick because my list is they're not going to be on there. Like I've been frothing at the thought of Azure Dreams being released somewhere else. In another format.
That'd be good.
For years. Azure Dreams was a game by Konami back in the day. And it was the first roguelike that I've ever played. It had Pokemon elements, city building, and date sim elements. And it was just... the game is such an underrated gem that I would love to see it released again. It's never been released anywhere else. Yeah. Like it's just been... like I think it was on a Game Boy... I think it got released on like Game Boy Advance or something at one point as well, but I can't remember.
A stripped down version was released on Game Boy Color.
Yeah, something like that, I think. But yeah, like Azure Dreams would be a game. That's never going to happen. Like the games that are going to come to this thing are going to be like Croc, Crash Bandicoot, Final Fantasy VII, Ape Escape.
No, they Karushi can't do maybe. Ape Escape because Ape Escape has to have the dual analog sticks.
Yeah,
that was the only game that you physically had to have it for.
It's going to be a bunch of well-known PlayStation games. That's the whole point of these things. They're not going to release... the beauty about the PlayStation was there were so many underrated gems. Like, there'll probably be Resident Evil, probably be like a Dino Crisis, maybe Metal Gear Solid 1.
Dino Crisis, oh my God.
Yeah, maybe Metal Gear Solid 1.
See, that's the thing. Once you rattle off the big Sony sort of pillar titles, there were so many PS1 games that... You don't have room for the little ones on the side or the cult classics or anything like that. You, as soon as you rattle off, hey, yeah, Crash, Spyro, as you said, all these main franchises, one of each, there's 20
There's
titles.
Your 20 games, yeah.
But, do they do Crash when they've just released Crash?
We haven't even spoken about fucking Gran Turismo yet. Yeah, and there was those puzzle games like Karushi and Cooler World and Devil Dice. And remember fucking Buster Move? One of the dancing games?
Parappa. I was about to say Parappa almost has to be on there.
Soul Blade. There were so many PlayStation... like, fantastic PlayStation 1 games.
See, I honestly wish...
Creating this 20 list is... fucking hard.
Chuck an Ethernet port in there or a Wi-Fi adapter in there and just say, we've got the store, download what you want. I know that
Die Hard Trilogy. Everyone had that.
Oh, that was actually a really good game too.
Yeah, it was. So, but you need Lycon support for game number 2. Well, you don't, but you can play it without, but, you know, it's shit without.
Yeah, it is. Oh, imagine the old Time Crisis if we could see Lycon support with the Move controllers. Oh. Oh, Point Blank. Oh, my God.
Point Blank. Yep.
Yep. Okay. We're not going to get any of that. Sorry, guys.
No, but like, this is just like the PlayStation. I'll go on record and I'll state that I personally believe that the PlayStation 1 is the best console of all time. I honestly do. I think that it dwarfs, in terms of quality games, I think it dwarfs every other console. And for me personally, everyone goes, oh, but the first console you ever play is always your favourite. That's not necessarily true. I actually started on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah. I started on the NES. Mm. And then I moved through to the SNES, and the SNES is up there. SNES might be number two for me. I fucking love that system. But the PlayStation 1, the original PlayStation, man, that... Far out. There were so many good games on that fucking thing.
Yeah,
so
I'm just starting to think about it now. Legend of Legia, Final Fantasy VIII. Oh,
Legend of Legia, yeah, dude. Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy IX was on there as well.
Chrono Cross. Like,
all the RPGs. Vagrant Hearts was on there.
Vagrant
Chrono
Story.
Cross was on there. Vagrant Story, was that on there?
Yeah, Vagrant Story Hearts, was.
They remade a bunch of the Mega Man games for that as well. Like, man, there were so many fucking good games on the PlayStation. And we haven't even scraped it. But anyway, look, creating a list of 20 for that mini console is going to be really,
really
hard.
That's why I said I want them to make either, just do the virtual console where we can just buy PSX, PS1 games.
You can do that now on the PlayStation 4.
Not all of them, though.
Nah, nowhere near all of them.
That's the problem. I just would...
Tombi? Is fucking Tombi going to be on it?
No. Maybe.
You don't reckon?
I don't know. I got no idea, man.
Tombi was on every demo disc under the sun. He was that dude with pink hair. Do you remember it? The side-scrolling game where you throw pigs around?
Nah.
Mm.
Unholy War?
What was Gex on? Was it 2 or 1?
Gex was on PlayStation 1, yeah. Unholy War was a 3D arena-based fighter with weird lizard things. Josh, remember that thing?
Yeah.
What about
Worms?
It was
on a bunch of demo discs. Destrega. I mean, we used to play fucking Destrega. Fuck, hell, man.
Was Worms 3D?
Worms, yeah.
Oh, Worms Armageddon.
Worms Armageddon was on
it. PS1?
So much.
Darkstalkers, fuck, dude. And there's so many good. Street Fighter Alpha 3, I think. Oh, that's already been announced, actually. There's a ton of, man. Yeah, anyway, PlayStation 1, far out. It's coming. So the PlayStation Classic console is coming at the end of this year.
December 3rd or 6th, whatever the anniversary is of the PS1.
Yep. So. I'll probably buy two of them, to be honest, now that I think about it. Anyway, jumping up to the top of the news, speaking of some old guys and up to their new tricks, Capcom has actually... announced their earnings call, and they're expecting record losses,
which is interesting and scary, considering some of the other news coming up later.
It's not that interesting. This is what happens when you effectively fuck a franchise over.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know. What they're saying is we are going to have massive losses, but they're actually going to be covered by the success of the PC version of Monster Hunter. The second part of the outlook says, regarding Capcom's full year business forecast, due to factors including the continued robust performance of PC version of Monster Hunter, exceeding company's expectations, we're actually going to be not changing our forecast for financials for the rest of the financial year. So
to give you a bit of an idea, they, for the first 6 months of 2018, they recorded a 4.5 billion yen loss, which equates to, what is it, around
40 million
US dollars?
Yeah.
Holy
shit. That's a lot of fucking
money.
That comes from the fact that that's potential sales of Capcom Vancouver, or no, the Dead Rising crew, basically.
Yeah, because they fucked that real bad.
Yeah, so they've basically cancelled the projects, and those projects were going to net, they were estimating to net in $40 million US, and so they've written those off.
But Dead Rising has been shit since number two, so...
Mm-hmm.
So with, as far as Dead Rising, the game itself goes, they've said they're rescaling that project down, which to me thinks that it must have been aiming to be like this massive open sort of game as service thing, and then
they lost their fucking way with Dead Rising after number one. The reason why Dead Rising was this beautiful little thing was because it was so out there, like the weird time stuff you had to do, the weird bosses you had to do, the fact you could get like Mega Man shit in it and stuff, like it was so,
and the way it
weird.
Brought the red ring of death to the fore.
Oh man, fucking oath did it. So if you weren't around in the original Xbox 360 days, the Red Ring of Death was a massive, massive problem. And Dead Rising, when Dead Rising came out, I think it was the first game that took advantage of the dual core pro, or the it took advantage of another core in the processor. I can't remember exactly what it was because it was a long time ago. And because it did that, it just fucking killed consoles around the world. It was so
But also
good.
There was the trophy or the achievement you had to get for playing for like 24 hours straight without dying or something or other.
No, it was 76 hours.
Oh, was it 76 hours, was it?
But no, that's in-game time. So that ends up being like 26 hours or something real time, and you can't save it. You can't save it or exit the game or anything. You have to do it. Like,
so people were just leaving the game running, the machine running for that long, and it was just melting
just
machines.
Burning
as well.
Because a lot of people don't realize that the reason the Xbox 360 had the Red Ring of Death, I used to fix these things with my company years ago, was the fucking plastic that they used for the motherboard warped under intense heat and prolonged heat. So what would happen was, if you left your 360 on it, or it was in a badly ventilated area, or it was just you lived in fucking Mackay, the motherboard would warp slightly, and the components would fucking pop off. So like nothing was it like things just became unattached to the motherboard, like the fucking CPU and the heatsink and stuff would just like lift off it, and it'd be like, hey, shit's not attached, and then you get the Red Ring of Death. So there was two ways to fix it. Number one was to strip the whole console down, reapply your thermal paste, and fucking jam those heat sinks back on and put the fucking everything back on and everything. Or, this was the dumbest one, wrap it in a towel and make that thing heat past the point where the plastic warps, and it warps back into its original shape when it gets too hot.
What?
And that was the other way to fix it.
You basically
so
over...
You're stupid.
Yeah, you overheat it.
You overheat it and it warps and you get the Red Ring of Death, but then you overheat it and it fixes itself.
Yeah, it's like that whole give it more, Scotty. No, it's about to blow. No, give it more, and then she's all good.
Anyway,
it works in the movies. Why wouldn't it work in real life?
Back into the news.
Fucking hell.
There's a new live-action Avatar: The Last Airbender series coming to Netflix.
Why not?
From everything I've seen, this looks good. But I've never seen Avatar: The Last Airbender.
No.
Anything of it.
It's a thing.
Which might
it
be
happened.
A travesty.
I remember the movie, and I think it was okay.
The live action movie is abysmally bad.
Yeah.
Man, I've never seen the anime though.
But apparently, everyone's people raved about the anime. Thought it was great
because it was a big thing back in the day.
I don't know.
It was one of those weird things where it had a game, but they couldn't call it Avatar because of weird licensing rules around Avatar, and the game was actually called something completely different.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was called though.
I just struggle a little bit with the whole live action of anime things. They just, from all the ones I've seen, they just don't work. Because at the end of the day, the whole point of the animes that you're watching is for it to be that little bit more unbelievable. It's hard for them to do that and make it look good in a live action show.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do, to be honest. But I don't know. We'll see. This is pretty cool. Speaking of
movies
and TV shows, a photo has apparently showed Jim Carrey as Eggman or Robotnik or whatever you want to call him in a live-action Sonic movie. Now that I've said that out loud, the ridiculousness of that is starting to set in. A live-action Sonic movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, nah. That's not happening.
Okay.
That's not going to be good anyway.
Righto.
It'll be as good as the games. Anyway, we'll put that.
Oh, fuck. Well, actually, Sonic. What was the last one? Sonic fucking Mania.
That
was really good.
Mania?
Sonic Mania was really fucking good. This is cool. Loki and Scarlet Witch TV shows apparently coming to Disney's new digital service starring Tom Hiddleston and Elizabeth Olsen. That's pretty damn cool.
That's pretty cool. And I think it's going to be interesting if... Obviously, Disney's got all the money in the world, and part of...
Yeah, what are they going to do with... So forgive me if I'm wrong, but the Netflix series...
Yes.
That are... there's Daredevil,
yes.
Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Defenders, which is now dead, and Iron Fist, and fucking Punisher.
Will eventually come across.
Well, they, yeah, because they technically now they exist in the MCU as well.
Yeah. No, that I'm pretty sure I remember reading something saying where they are going to eventually come across to Disney service and won't be on Netflix anymore. I thought I read something.
They're Netflix sponsored shows. But they
are Networks originals. They were.
Yeah, they were Netflix originals.
I think I remember seeing. I'd have to go back and have a look. I'm pretty sure I saw something about it.
Because at the end of the day, Disney owns the rights to them. So once ever. Still comes back to the fact that, well, Disney owns the license, so that's pretty much the end of the story. I assume once Netflix, whatever they signed, runs out, they'll come across. It's like all the Netflix originals that are on Foxtel in Australia. Once those eventually run out, they'll come across the Netflix. So
that's true.
It's gonna be.
There's no way Disney would have let them sign over a thing to make a TV series of them, and they hold the rights for it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be.
Keen to see the Scarlet Witch one, though. Keen to see that Scarlet Witch one. Loki, whatever. I think he's an interesting anti-hero sort of villain in a lot of ways. He's odd, Loki, but a Scarlet Witch is a very interesting character in the Marvel universe. The shit that she does. I mean, she fucking
causes.
She's one
of the more powerful bloody characters.
She causes.
As well.
Is it M-Day?
She causes M-Day.
She fucking flips out. And strips everyone's mutant powers away in the entire world.
Mm.
Like, sets everything back to zero, pretty much. She's fucking mentally powerful.
I think the thing that's really interesting about this is, obviously, as I said, Disney's got the one with all the money. So the big disconnect that we've always seen is between the movies and the TV shows. There's different actors playing the same character. Obviously, with Disney now doing this, they're going to have the money to get... You know, your Tom Hiddleston's playing Loki in a movie and doing TV shows. I think that's going to be pretty interesting because it's no longer going to be just that, okay, that's the movie side of it and this is the TV side of it. That's all going to blend together pretty well. It's going to be interesting.
I'm excited to see, especially if this takes off and is critically acclaimed, then obviously we'll get lots more, which will be great. Yeah.
While we're on the topic of Marvel, I actually just finished Iron Fist Season 2. Better than the first season, which isn't really saying much.
I haven't been able to get
Danny
into it.
Danny Rand is still bland and boring as fuck, though.
Yeah.
But without spoilers, it's worth a watch because Iron Fist season 3 is going to be real fucking different. We just did the Sony announced the PlayStation Classic, which is rad. Ubisoft. Whoever they fucking pronounce it, unveils an Assassin's Creed styled Alexa called Alexios.
Which is just interesting.
It's just dumb.
Have we got the news about their obstacle course? We haven't got that in
that
there.
That was last week.
Got,
Yeah, we discussed that last week.
They're really pushing Assassin's Creed, which I love the fact that they're doing that. So this will be cool for some people.
Yeah,
it'll play Skyrim. That's the thing. You'll have a Ubisoft device playing a Bethesda game. It's great. Here we go. Come on.
Yeah. So, do you want to do? All right. So, the as of yet unreleased game of the year, Red Dead Redemption 2, has an online mode called Red Dead Online. Last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
Or was it early this week? Early in the week now. It was mid to late last week.
Yeah.
Rockstar sort of came out and said, hey, here's a bunch of information about Red Dead Online, which really wasn't that much information.
It will be in beta
in November, so that gives you sort of a month to finish the game before you get into the beta.
The interesting parts out of this is they've sort of come out and said, look, the reason why... thing that people jumped up and down about straight away almost was that this is not releasing alongside Red Dead Redemption 2. It's going to be something that comes out like a month or two afterwards, as Wilco's just said. And Rockstar came out and said, yeah, look, we actually see them as completely different products.
Yep.
Which is
our
fair.
Bread and butter. Yeah. They're like, our bread and butter is single player narrative driven experiences. That's what we're known for, and that's what we want to concentrate on, which I commend them for a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to release Red Dead Redemption 2 and treat it as a different platform, a different game, which they've been doing with GTA Online for a while now. And they say they've learned mistakes. They've learned from their mistakes with GTA Online and the original Red Dead Redemption Online.
Well, that was
stuff
like a
that.
Year, wasn't it, for GTA Online to hit after GTA 6?
Yeah, it was about that.
Dropped. 6? 5? Yeah. I don't know what we're up to. It's the one? 5. Yeah.
It was 5, yeah.
Yeah. Look, end of the day, it's going to be huge. And you want to play through the single player anyway before you go to the online, because you want to understand the mechanics of everything and you want to understand what's going on.
See horses' balls shrink.
Yes.
Because that's the other bit of news that came out this week.
See, this is the fun part, because everyone's basically, the embargo has dropped. A whole heap of journos got to play an hour of the game. And then just a flood of news has come. Everyone's just raving about how good it is. But yes, the horses have realistic balls, physics. So depending on whether it's hot or cold, the balls will grow bigger.
I fucking hope more than anything that in the credits there is someone there, horses ball modeler. Like, he needs, like, fuck, dude. I hope that is in there.
I'm just, please. This is going to be the, like, when this game comes out, this is all that is going to be over Twitter and everything is photos of horses balls from fucking Red Dead Redemption 2 for weeks, man.
How good is it going to be? Because apparently, too, the horse's poo cycle is realistic, so they won't poo while they're galloping. They'll actually stop and poo. And
Have you ever tried to take a shit while running at full speed?
No, I haven't. I assume it would be hard.
It is very difficult.
But yeah, so they're actually on. It's not just going to randomly happen. It's actually built into the actual code on you know, when they should be doing it, when they shouldn't be doing it. If your horse dies in game,
cares?
It's
Who
dead
cares?
Forever. If
no,
your horse...
I'm not going to... Fuck my life. This is so stupid, mate. Like, have we reached the point where be like, you know, I wanted to give that game a 10, but that horse was just shitting at really unrealistic times.
I cannot believe this horse would shit then. This is one of those things where it could be too realistic for my liking, and that could be the thing that might tip it over there. But this is just extra stuff on top.
I found a little meme this morning that I put in the Discord, and it was so true. You know, back in the 1980s, everyone's like, in the future we're gonna have fucking hoverboards, and here we are talking about realistic horse balls.
That's it.
You know,
but it's true. So some of the actual interesting stuff that's come out is the fact that if your horse dies in game, that's the end of it. There's no bring it randomly comes back, so you've got to look after your horse.
I'm gonna go on fucking Red Dead Online and I'm just gonna kill
everyone's horses.
That's all I'm gonna fucking do.
This is in Red Dead Redemption 2, so I don't know whether it's gonna be the same with the online.
Grief
but
the fuck out of horses, man.
You know how normally you go, okay, this area is where deers are, and you go hunt deers in this area. They've said that no, the deer may be there, the deer may not be, you've just got to go hunt them sort of thing. So it's going to have this full like hunting simulator built into it as well. From what they've said, the actual skinning of these animals isn't just a, you know, where they do the funny knife going back and forth and then all of a sudden you've got this skin that's actually, it's full on, like you're ripping the skin from the muscle and you're using a knife to cut. That's apparently really gruesome. So
that's going to be interesting
as well. So all these stories coming out of the game, pretty much everyone that's come out and talked about it has a different aspect of the game, because they just basically gave them the control for half an hour and just said, just go, just do whatever you want. And everyone basically went and did different things, from balls on horses to horses shitting to, you know, killing
animals. Like, how good is that? So can you imagine being the guy, the rock star guy, sitting there and each journo coming in and giving him the controller, right? And so he gives him the controller and guy goes and skins something and gives another guy a controller, you know, goes and tries out the guns, gives it to the third guy and he's just looking at horse balls.
Yeah.
And trying to work out when a horse shits. Like,
yeah, you know, the best part is that this game probably got delayed 6 months to October 26th because the horse balls... our modelling wasn't quite right.
I really hope not. Let's move away from balls. Too much talk about balls on this podcast. Christ. Into some sad news now. The production of the PS Vita consoles will end in Japan next year.
Is it still going?
Yeah,
yeah, it's fucking weird. Because, like, really, they haven't supported it in.
But the Nintendo Switch is out. The sequel. Isn't that the Switch, the sequel to the Vita? Oh, different companies. Sorry.
You're an idiot, Wilco.
And okay, that's all I'll say about that. Yep, PS Vita.
Bye bye.
Good night, sweet prince. Bye bye. Fortnite has its biggest ever month in August. In August, with 78.3 million players. Now, let's put this in perspective, right? That is three times the size of Australia. Everyone in Australia. That is population of Australia three times over.
Hey, that let's is be realistic people, though.
That is 20... more people than Thailand, the UK, France, Italy, South Africa, South Korea. That is so many people.
Yeah, but 20 million of them are PlayStation 4 owners that also have accounts on the Switch because they can't use their account across both of them.
Probably.
That's an outrageous amount of fucking people.
And it's about half the copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 that have been sold in the world, too.
Yeah, it is.
That's still huge, man.
Getting there. Like, I know, it's fucking stupid. And we've got Season 6 just about to kick off, I think, or it might have just kicked off. No, it kicks off tomorrow, I think.
And you've got to remember as well, that's 150 million people over the lifespan of GTA sales. This is 70 million people in a month.
Yeah.
Active in a month. That's fucked. Stop playing Fortnite. It's terrible.
You're terrible.
Play fucking something else.
That's true.
Don't worry. Call of Duty's going to kill it.
I still stand by the fact that as it stands now, Fortnite is still the best battle royale game out. I'm just very sick of it. Very sick of it. Moving forward into... Hey, how the fuck did this news get near? This isn't fucking Megacast news. This is fucking fancy-pantsy Tom Clancy news. Michael B. Jordan is going to play Tom Clancy in a new movie. I'm assuming the new movie is about basketball.
Rainbow Six movie. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. Can't wait.
Tom Clancy and the fancy basketball dancing.
I really hope he's like dancing in the movie.
He better be. Rainbow Six agents always dance, so it's really, really, really likely. But yeah, we'll talk about more that more in depth on Thursday in Locked On, a Tom Clancy podcast, or AKA a So Clancy Fancy Tom Clancy Dancy
the
Mancy.
Oh So Fancy Tom Clancy. No, the Oh So Fancy
Chuckle Dancy with a beautiful
Mancy fucking Tom Clancy Extravagancy or something dumb like that. I can't remember. No one's dancing at this point. Telltale Games has shut down.
Wow.
Now, I feel pretty bad about this because I'm pretty sure that I was actively giving them shit on the podcast like last week.
Yeah. I think most of us were. And to be fair, while some people may have really enjoyed their games, we just didn't. They weren't our kind of games.
I enjoyed their first game. And this is
the problem. They had a really good game and they went, hey, we made lots of money off this. Let's replicate that. Let's not fix what we've got. Dude. Let's just make it over and over and over again so that people can see the issues in it.
I don't understand what they thought. Like, they paid buttloads of money for some of the best IP that you can probably get out of the world at the moment, like Batman and Lego and Walking Dead and all sorts of stuff and Marvel and stuff. Like they paid a lot of money for all this IP, and then they continue to make
average
same game after the same game after the same game after the same
on
game
on a broken engine. Now, the sad part of this is the people who've been let go pretty much instantly got told to get out. They had half an hour to leave the building.
There's
250 people without a job. A handful of them, about 25, have been kept on to work as a skeleton staff on the... apparently, it's a Netflix-sponsored Minecraft, the Minecraft story mode. So, they're going to finish that off.
That's right.
The Walking Dead game is finished, so that's it. You've got two episodes of the four in the last season, and you'll never see the last two. And also the one that we were talking about last week, the Stranger Things one, has been cancelled, and Netflix is shopping it around to try and see if they can bring that series to an interactive game through someone else at the moment. So you'll see Telltale bring out a couple more episodes of Minecraft story
Give
mode.
Give it to Quantic.
That'll be it. Yeah, it'll do that for sure. But the sad thing is these people have been let go. No severance pay, no nothing, basically.
See, that's bullshit, whole heap too. Of them and, that, like, I would have... Like, this would have been sad. It is sad. It's sad for the 250 people. Who it's not sad for is the Telltale upper, like the upper echelon of these people. And don't be fucked. Give those people the money that they are owed.
Because I'm guaranteed those people were taking the money when things were going so sweet.
Yeah,
100%.
I haven't done a lot of reading into it. I did see somewhere that it was stated that the majority of them were contract workers. Weren't the really entitled have been... to anything.
Yeah, but still.
Which is shit.
That's the problem with the industry itself, to be honest. But just give the people what they deserve, though. Like, put people on as employees. If you're going to put them on for a 4 month period or four year period, then you're gonna want, if they're that good, you're gonna keep them on to make another game. These guys had like 15 games in the works. They should have all been employees. But like, some of them had just moved to the, like, uprooted themselves and moved to the studio to work. Like, moved everything over there, and all of a sudden, that's it. It just happened all of a sudden too. That which is, I can see that we should have seen it coming. The fact that this, no one was talking about.
To be honest, I personally had no idea how their games were making money.
No, I really didn't. So. No one was talking about them. No, I didn't even realize that they were that a whole heap of them had actually released in the last couple of years. I haven't heard anything from them in a while because they did scale down back in November.
Yeah.
I think they shed like 90 employees back then. But yeah, look, it's sad for the people involved, and that's probably as far as we can really go with it. Telltale will be one of those stories we talk about in 10 years' time if we remember them. Remember how they stuffed it up?
Yeah, and, agreed. Oh, well. Look, to everyone who is left in the lurch there, really, really hope.
There is a bright side. Do well. There is a massive bright side, the fact that there's a whole heap of studios that have put on working sort of seminars and trying to get them in, and the talent that's in this studio, because there is talent there. The writers of these back in, like, the good versions of Telltale Games were good.
Yeah, the writing was really good. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole reason they got big.
We're going to get those people in franchises with money behind them to make even better games. So that's the positive out of this, is these people will probably feed in and make the industry a better as a whole.
Yep.
Fair.
Awesome. TGS happened.
Yeah, what's that? Fucking hell.
TGS. So guess what? I'm refusing to watch the Death Stranding trailer that came out. For a couple of different reasons. Number one, because it's not coming out for another fucking 2 years, 3 years.
It's already out, mate. It's already out.
Yeah. Like, what is this fucking thing, dude?
Oh, look, I'm still excited for it, but I think the less I see about it in the lead up,
I remember back in the day when I said, just stop talking about it and keep talking about it. And then you kept on saying, keep talking about it. I want to see if this is crazy. I love the story behind it.
No, I don't love the story. I love the feeling. I love Hideo Kojima himself, and the fact that he's the only person that's doing crazy in a AAA sense. Because he's insane. The man's insane. I still want to see as much... Not see, but I still want to hear and talk a bunch about it and what Death Stranding could be. And I'm very excited about all that. But I'm just not going to watch this new trailer.
It's actually the first time we've seen some actual content that could possibly be gameplay, but still...
Well, you mean the Norman Reedus and the Funky Fetus trailer wasn't a fucking...
See, I still think we're all going to wake up...
I think we've just found the title of this episode, Norman Reedus and the Funky Fetus.
That went around it so much on the internet. That was a very well-known thing, Norman Reedus and the Funky Fetus. People were fucking...
I 100% guarantee you... We're going to get this game, basically. Trump's going to finish in office. We're going to get this game in, so that's in not too distant future. And he's going to go, ha-ha, we've had, Trump's the baddie, we've had him in office. We put him in office so that, this is the real life, AR version of the game. It's all this, and it's all a big fucking practical joke on yous all. It's something that Hideo would do. It's actually going to be some other person under the mask or... There's going to be some weird tie-in. It's going to be good.
You reckon?
Can't wait. Yep. I can't wait to see what he's done. He's already talking about there's something going on at the moment that's going to tie into the game, that we're already playing it. So I'm interested to see how his brain works. But no, I don't want to hear about it anymore. This is fucked. I'm making shit up. I don't care about this game.
I forget.
Phoenix Wright. Ace Attorney's coming. Let's go. Let's talk about this shit. This is good.
All right, let's talk about Phoenix Wright. The trilogy is coming to PS4. I'll actually pick this up because these are games that I would have liked to have played on the DS, but I just never got around to it because, why play a handheld when you have consoles and PCs? Yeah.
That's it. So this is good. And it's coming to... I thought it was coming to PS4, PC as well.
Maybe.
So.
Maybe PC as well.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. They are games that people should be playing anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very exciting to see.
Speaking of games that people should be playing, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. New gameplay video from that as well.
Yeah, I think it was about 12 minutes in a boss fight or some bloody thing like that. And apparently it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Probably was.
That's another game that I really want to have. I see more of, but I just haven't really, for some reason, I don't know. I don't really look at trailers very much anymore for some reason. I'm not too sure why. But anyway.
It's time in your life. That's why I don't do it.
Fuck, here we go. So has anyone here, bar me, watched Kill La Kill?
No.
Oh, dude, it's fucking weird. Yeah. It's more or less less like softcore porn.
Like, I've seen it and I've just gone, no. No, yeah, it's okay more or less with not watching that.
Yeah. So Arc System Works is developing a Kill La Kill game. Kill La Kill is it's an anime that centers around clothes that actually like fight. Like that, like you put on clothes or like armor, and it sort of gives you abilities.
Yep.
But they're all usually on high school girls, and they're all like, it's like a mankini.
Yeah, not much clothes.
But on like a high
school
girl, they're barely clothes at all a lot of the time. And I actually liked the fight scenes. The animation was really cool in it. I kind of felt weird watching it. I'm not going to sit here and tell fibs about it. But now Arc System Works is developing a Kill La Kill game. And I was like, hey, this could be a cool fighting game because there were some really cool abilities in that anime. And I looked at it and it was a 3D arena-based fighter. And I went, oh, no, not for me. No. Okay, cool. Even though Arc System Works are the premier fighting game developers at the moment, they're very fucking good. So I don't know.
So that's a solid maybe for you, I hear.
A solid maybe.
It's a solid definitely if I'm feeling real lonely and it's late at night.
Are we going to talk about you kissing cows again, open mouth?
Open mouth kissing cows? No. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that. Plus, I've got someone that I kiss now. She's lovely. Thank you very much, Wilco.
No problem, mate.
I thought you were just about to thank Kate for letting her do it.
Thanks, Kate, for letting me kiss you too, you champion.
Oh, fuck.
Well, I would be thanking her too after the places you put your mouth, to be honest.
Oh, fuck off, Wilco. Activision has given us some more information on the PS4 timed exclusive stuff of Black Ops 4. Cool, I guess.
Cool.
It's 7 days, not 30 days, but it's all content is 7 days to PS4 before Xbox. So that's basically, I think, if I'm wrong, then I'm sorry because it's Call of Duty and I just don't care.
Fair point.
So you're not going to play it?
Look, I probably will after saying all that because of the stupid fucking, everyone's going to be playing Blackout and I'm going to have to buy the full fucking game to bloody play one fucking mode.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be playing it twice
on two different platforms at the same time.
You're the problem
first
with
on
this
the
world.
PS4, though.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So that's the end of news. If you want to give us some news to talk about or help us, you know, find news to talk about, then you can do so. Just head to our website, ultrasupermega.com.au, click on the community tab at the top, and come join our Discord server. We have a news channel there. Just post it all in there.
If you want to also do our job for us and tell us what we should do for our 100th episode,
pretty
by
much
all
yeah.
means, jump in there and tell us because we've got no idea.
Yeah, you're not allowed to tell us to get fucked either, by the way. It doesn't work that way. So.
Yeah, that's pretty normal, to be honest.
Yeah. moving into listener feedback, if you would like to ask a question, then you can do so the same way I said before. Head to the website ultrasupermega.com.au, click on the community button at the top, look for the Discord link, join our Discord server, and then come and ask us questions in the podcast channel. And likewise, you can ask the Tom Clancy guys questions in their channel as well. Demuji has asked a couple of questions this week. He's the only person. Why is everyone overlooking the terrible amount of bugs in Spider-Man, or am I the only one who got heaps of them?
I'm assuming he's the only one who's got them.
No,
I've got fucking so many, man.
I didn't. I haven't had one yet.
I had a couple, not massive ones.
I was underneath underneath a ramp once in the underworld, but that was it.
The amount of times the game hard crashed on me back to the Sony screen, I had to like relaunch again.
Now, what are you
again.
Playing on? You playing on PS4?
PS4, not Pro.
No, see, I'm wondering if, because I'm playing it on Pro, if that's the thing, because I haven't had a single crash yet, and I haven't had a single like frame drop or anything. It's just,
it could be.
It just runs smoothly, except for this bit where I went underneath a ramp and could see nothing below me. And
yeah, but like even during cutscenes with Mary Jane, her fringe would sometimes just slide off her fucking face.
Any of that either. That's why it sort of surprised me when he asked this question, because like I said, I haven't seen any of this.
I had a couple of issues. I think it is a fairly interesting question to ask, because
yeah.
we we are all fairly critical of games that have got these kind of bugs in them, but he's right. No one's really, that I've seen, talking about them. They're all just talking about how good the game's been. You know?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. True. And I can only relate it back to, like, it is a really engaging game, regardless of any of the bugs you come across. And you know, the bugs you come across, even though they might, you know, you might hard crash you back to the PlayStation screen, you're kind of jumping straight back in because you're having so much fun with the game. You don't really care.
That's what I said to Muji. Like, he said, why no one talking about it? Like, I don't understand how people are giving this game, like, a perfect 10 or even a 9 when there's so many bugs. And I said, yeah, look, I personally gave the game a 9, and I probably got kicked back to the main screen maybe 20 times in my playthrough. Like, it was a lot. Like, it was quite a large amount over my few days with that game. But some of
its good points overshadowed the negatives of that bugs.
Even while I was getting... Like, I would go back in, the autosave had worked fine, so I didn't lose any progress ever. It didn't detract from my overall enjoyment with the game. It means that the game is not technically perfect. Yes, 100% agree there. It shouldn't get perfect 10s for that reason. It shouldn't. But my own personal enjoyment of the game was a 9, and I rated it a 9. And the reason that it's not a 10 for me are for reasons like that. Those technical issues, those bugs, those glitches, they were definitely noticed. Mm-hmm. Definitely noticed.
Yeah, and I think in a world where the negatives are blown out of proportion on the internet more than anything else that happens, I think a bit of positivity in the world isn't a bad thing anyway.
100%. 100%. He's also asked, why is that Demuji guy not on the podcast?
We prefer quality over quantity.
You don't have a mic. You don't have a mic, I don't think, mate.
He's a professional streamer, mate. A professional esports man. He should have a mic.
Esports, that's why we can't have you on. Because you've got August to back, mate. If you want to ask us a question, like I said, head to our website, ultrasupermega.com.au, click on the community tab, and join our Discord server. We're all a bunch of friendly bastards in there. We'll start to close this thing out. Apparently. Just don't ask me about the incident. What are you looking forward to, Wilco?
Am I allowed to talk about this or what?
What looking forward to, or the incident? No.
Yeah, what I'm allowed to talk about is I'm looking forward to Forza Horizon 4. How good is Forza Horizon 4 going to be, Josh, mate?
I'm keen.
Can we talk about Forza Horizon 4 for a bit? This is going to be so good.
I'm keen.
I'm looking forward to sharing the game with all the USM that's going to be playing it. Like, we're building up to it. I'm also looking forward to actually getting back to Spider-Man in my spare time.
You have some of that?
I hopefully will be. I'm trying to restructure myself at the moment, so I do. Like, I've taken Wednesday mornings off now, the 3 o'clock start, so that's one step forward towards that. So that will help with the matter. And I'm also taking a few afternoons off, which will sort of help with that as well. So I think I will be. I think I'll be getting back into stuff like that. Like I said, Forza Horizon 4, bit of Spider-Man. But the other thing I didn't mention in the news, we've got games like, I've just got The Gardens Between, which is we had one of the devs on just after PAX last year, so probably about, 8 months ago, talked about that. That actually released on PS4 and Switch the other week, so I'm pretty excited to get into that. Damsel sort of didn't exit early access, but it's put its price up to the full price, so they're getting very ready for a proper launch of that. Party Crashers is releasing on the 5th of October from Giant Margarita. And Witch Thief, which we had on Hype Train, the dev from that, which is that bullet time game. Remember that, Perko?
Oh, yeah, that was fucking cool as hell.
Yeah, that's released on Steam as well in the last week. So all these indie Australian games are released at the moment. I'm trying to organise that week up, lead up to PAX, a sort of an indie showcase on my channel and you know, stream a different one every night on the lead up to PAX. So yeah, looking forward to getting back into a bit more Aussie indie.
Yeah, good shit. Very nice. What about you, Josh?
Forza Horizon 4, like Wilco said, I'm keen. Mm-hmm. Keen for that.
Oh, can we talk about that? I'm interested to hear what you want to know about it.
pretty keen to get my hands on Red Dead Redemption 2 in a month. Like, pretty much in a month.
Those horse technicals.
It's going to be here.
I am super jealous of you not going to PAX because you'll be the one person in Australia playing it on day one.
And I'm going to be playing the absolute fucking shit out of it.
I'm gonna buy it at Harvey Norman in PAX for like $49, and I'm gonna be able to sit there and watch it, not be able to play it.
Nice. I don't know. I'm just getting back in and finding something that's gonna grab me, I guess. You know,
that's by the
testicles. By the horse balls. Yep. Yeah. No, just something that's gonna grab my attention until, you know, your Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out. That's really what I'm looking for at the moment.
Mm. Pretty fair. Pretty fair. I'm pretty much doing the same, looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2, but I'm really looking forward to PAX. Like, really, really looking forward to PAX.
What's this PAX you talk of?
The PAX thing, you know.
Oh.
Will you PAX it?
Yeah. Oh, PAX it. So PAX everyone it. Wants to hear your stories and get you drunk. Now, we are... Can we put out a warning to everyone? Can we please not get him drunk this time? Please. Yeah. I didn't see him all day Saturday. And
my best behaviour. My best behaviour is PAX, everybody. So... Anyway, so
we'll look after him. No, it's gonna be good. I can't wait to get you down there and catch up with everyone. The community's growing so quickly, and it is. Especially it's around PAX. Great.
I'm actually very, very excited and very, very keen. So, if you're at PAX in Melbourne this late October, then feel free to come and seek us out. We'll be around.
Perko's going to do an autograph session down by the bar.
Yep, that's going to fucking happen. But let's close this thing out. Wilco, where can we catch you if we need to find you, man?
Wilco's Chill Zone, or at the bar at PAX on Thursday afternoon, probably at the Merryweather, so that'll be pretty sick.
Good shit.
Yeah, do that, because I'm getting a lot of followers for some reason on Twitch. So come over there, have fun. We're getting some good viewers every night, so it's always good fun.
Josh, where can we catch you, man?
Super Mega Josh on Twitter, or Voice of Reason on the Discord.
Bullshit, you're not on Twitter.
Yeah, well, it depends if you talk to Dash or not.
I don't talk to Dash.
Fair enough.
It's one of those things I avoid.
So there, give me a shout out.
Radical. You can find me at Matt Jerkins on most of the stuff, except for Matty Jerkins, where that real estate mogul has fucking stolen Matt Jerkins, because that's his actual name, the poor bastard. And you can catch all of us at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. We'll see you guys next week, or the week after, for episode 100.
See us.
Or maybe never. See ya.
No, there'll be an episode. Fucking Wilco.